Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners, my sisters, my friends. Thank you so much for joining in with us tonight. It is such a blessing to have you join us. This program is designed to inform, encourage, uplift, and undergird all our women of all ages, cultures, and nationalities. Educators, businesswomen, housewives, students, single women, married women, and believers in God. Tonight, we have a dynamic show. It is in honor of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Our host tonight is none other than Minister Sanara Henderson of Ashes to Beauty, a mighty woman of God. And also, we have Mother Mary McCray on the line, who is a nurse for the Methodist Hospitals of Dallas. So without further ado, I'll let Sanara tell you her story, because she can tell it better than I can. Go ahead, Minister Henderson. Hello? Hello? Minister Henderson, are you there?
I am.
Hello? Okay.
Hello.
I was wondering. Hi. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, ladies, and welcome to the Pink Party Forum on tonight. We thank you all for joining us on tonight. I thank God for LaChandra suggesting that we do the program tonight in awareness of Breast Cancer Month. And as she first stated, I am a five-year survivor. I was diagnosed January 14, 2008. And I just thank God that throughout this time that he has been gracious and kind to me, that I continue to walk in the healing in which he's given me. It was an experience, and there is a life after that episode, so I'm grateful on tonight.
Yes, I wanted you to go ahead and elaborate a little bit about your experience and tell us something about how did it occur and what happened when you found out and, you know, your struggles going through. Just give us a little history about it.
Well, actually, I was asleep when I found the lump. It was a week before Thanksgiving, 07. And I just remember thinking, oh, no. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, oh, yes. Just like that. I mean, I knew, but he gave me a peace at the same time. And it was going through the holidays and so on and so forth, so I had to wait before I could get into my gynecologist and be referred, you know, to a breast surgeon for a biopsy and so on and so forth. But it was the size of a double large egg. So you couldn't miss it. But it just happened to show up under my arm on the left side of my left breast. And when I got the news, I literally fainted. Because when they called me, I was at work, and I took the call in the conference room, and I just fainted smooth out because I was like, oh, my God. Then when I came to myself, you know, of course, I shared it with my superiors and so on and so forth. And then I went down to prayer for 2 weeks because I needed to know how to tell my children. And, you know, with the help of a good friend, he allowed me to use one of the classrooms at their church and shared with my children. You know, of course, they ran three different directions for those of you all who know my children, Keshava, Porcian, and Jamelia. But nevertheless, you know, we got through it, and it was an experience. It was one of those, I always felt like if I'm being healed with medication, which I refused to take additional chemo, but, you know, I asked the Lord to help me to work until it was time for the last final surgery. So I had five surgeries in all, excuse me, so for 6 months, he gave me strength to continue to work, and the job watched me and family and friends watched me transform from shoulder-length hair to no hair at all, And, you know, it was an experience. I lost some things along the way, my apartment, my car, you know, but God was faithful. He was kind, and I thank God that I had somewhere to go. I went to live with my oldest daughter, Kashab, and her husband, my son, down on Denmark. And, you know, and I just thank God that it is an experience. But I tell people it's not the sickness that I found was an experience. It was the process that you go through, going through the chemo. And then once you go through that, then going every day for radiation. I remember having the right breast being the actual color that you are, and then the left breast from so much radiation being charcoal. Like if you ever notice a burnt wiener, which is what I love on the barbecue grill, but that's how it was. So I had a dark and light, and then all of that stuff just begins to peel off. So it's an experience. It's an experience that I'll never forget. It's a scary experience. In that time, you really learn to really lean and depend on God and stand on God's word and watch God be God. Watch God be who he says he is, and watch the word work, if you work it, as our overseer teaches us. So it was a life-changing experience, and really you don't look at life the same afterwards. You know what I mean? Anybody have to know what I'm saying? You just, your viewpoint of life, it's not so as important as it was before in the different little mediocre things. And so you thank God for opportunity to be in the land of the living, and you find yourself pressing more so into your purpose and into your destiny. And through this all, he conceived, he birthed ashes of beauty in my belly before I was actually diagnosed with breast cancer. I just didn't know that it would be on the road to the birthing. But nevertheless, it gave me something to put on my mind and to keep my attention. And while I was going through it, I didn't talk about the experience. I would go and be around people who knew I was ill and was going through, but I thank God they've never made it be the conversation. Therefore, neither did I. I was accepted wherever I went, even if they knew, you know, even though people know that, no, you know what you're going through. But I was just so grateful. It was never the focal point. It was never, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't pro her, pro this. I was treated the same, and I thank God for that, because that was very important, because you don't know who's going to draw in or who's going to step away. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. So,
well, did you have a lot of emotions going on during that time? Can you elaborate a little bit about how you felt about it for some of the listeners who may be going through? You can tell them, you know, can you tell them, will they be emotional? Will their mental status, how will their mental status be? I know the physical is kind of weakening after the procedures, but what happens with your mental psyche? How do you handle that?
Well, I'll never forget Minister Lewis, when I got the phone call and when I fainted and got through that and on and on and on, it made the appointment to go see the breast surgeon. Well, by the time I pulled myself together, and she began to say, you know, when you go through chemo, your hands are going to get black, your feet are going to get black, your toenails, you know, things of that nature. But she said one thing that just really, I mean, sent me running down the hall screaming, and there was one thing she said, and you will lose your hair. And I just freaked out over the fact of losing my hair. They'll ask me why I don't. I mean, I'm a type of woman, my hair, my hands and feet must be done. It is my pet peeve. And at that time, I had shoulder-length hair, you know, a little longer than the shoulder, and I just wore a flat wrap. Because that's what I love, flowy hair. And when she told me that, I mean, I just took out running out of her office down the hallway of the hospital, because that messed with my psyche. All I could think was my glory, you know, because a woman's hair is her glory. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know. And I'm crying about the hair versus the diagnosis. So it does play a mental role because my daughters and I, when we would go to the mall, by me being totally bald, you know, they would put these little hoop earrings on. And, you know, of course, people thought, walking with another lady, thought we was lesbians. So me and my middle daughter and I, poor Shannon, we would act like we were gay. We would hold each other's hand and say, look, somebody's listening here. Listen, give me a kiss. You know, give me a kiss. She kissed me, or I kissed her back, and they go, ugh. And I just say, you know, just be careful, because what looks like isn't always what it is. I'm a breast cancer patient. Oh, I'm so sorry, you know. So, and it taught me then not to judge the book by the cover. So I learned a lot of lessons along the way. I did a lot of journaling, and it can get into your mental psyche if you let it. But I will say this. I will say this, Minister Lewis. After all the hair was gone, the eyelashes, the eyebrows, you know, I really had to title what they say, naked as a jaybird. I was literally naked as a jaybird, because every piece of hair on your body falls off. But I looked in the mirror and saw the most beautiful lady I've ever seen in my whole life, and it was me.
Amen.
And I had never viewed myself as that ever before. But I looked in the mirror, and I just saw the most gorgeous woman. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's me.
Man.
So on this journey, ministry was birthed. On this journey, I met my king the night before the birthing, which is now my husband, Pastor Henderson. And it just a lot of things came out of the journey. So, and as she foresaid, your mental psyche, it does change. Because the chemo takes away your taste bud. Food tastes like lead. You know, you look at it, you know it's fish, or you know it's gumbo, or you know it's dressing, you know, or you know it's pizza, but when you put it in your mouth, it tastes nothing like that. So, yes, you do lose your appetite, and you just have to wait until you find something that fits that taste bud, and then it doesn't stick with you long. Then it goes away.
Do
you have to wait till you find something else?
Okay. Well, did you lose weight also?
Yeah, I was going to say you lose a lot of weight. You do.
Okay.
And it's simply, I believe I lost a lot of weight. I don't know about the other ladies, but simply because it changed your taste bud.
Mm-hmm.
You really didn't desire food. You knew you were hungry, but you knew you risked the chance of buying something or getting something that didn't taste right, wasn't going to, you know, go with your palate now that it tastes like lead. You know, your mouth actually smells like metal, you know, so you don't risk just wasting money, so I would have to wait. But my biggest two things that I love was chicken noodle soup and orange Gatorade. So I would eat that by the... Yeah, that's what I found that agreed with me, and I would eat chicken noodle soup by the cases and drink orange Gatorade by the bottles until that taste went away. And then I have to wait to find something else, but those are the two things that stuck with me the most. So, yes, if you do lose weight, you do get fine. And my oncologist, he said, no, when the chemo is over, the taste palates will begin to come back maybe 2 to 3 months later. So be real careful, because it's real easy to gain weight. And he didn't lie, because I did. Because I was so glad to finally be back and able to eat and taste my food and regain my taste buds.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, do
we
have any listeners or callers on the line that would like to ask Minister Henderson any questions before we move forward? Is there anybody there that would like to make a comment?
Yes, I would. Minister Henderson.
Yes,
Minister Henderson.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing tonight?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, doing good. It's so good to hear your voice again. This is your friend and Alan, Zandra McHugh.
Oh, yes. All right. Head intercessor. Yes.
And I just wanted to ask you, as you went through the process of going through breast cancer, could you just kind of, tell us a little bit more about how you felt like, you know, did people treat you different? Did you find out different things about, you know, people in your inner circle, people at work, different things, you know? Just kind of tell me about, from an emotional standpoint, you know, some things about as you went through this process and how, you know, you felt like you was viewed from, you know, other people around that you were so accustomed to being with.
Right. Yes, I have to agree with you, Minister McHugh, that, yes, you will, on my job, I stand it to a lot of ridicule. And what I mean is there was no sympathy for what you were going through. Because, you know, you had a job to do and you still had to do the job. You know what I'm saying? And regardless of going to chemo and coming in the next day ill, there was still no, you know, there was no compassion. Let me put it this way. It was no compassion.
Okay.
Now, this is what I experienced. No compassion. Because people's mindset, if you're at work, you ought to be able to do the work. But I asked the Lord, is it one thing, and the woman of God that just asked the question, Dr. McHugh of Allen, Texas, she said, pray and ask God to raise you above it. And I began to ask God to raise me above what I was going through. And in doing so, he raised me above it, and he just told me to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the battle is not mine, but it belongs to him. So in other words, don't get into an argument, don't rebuttal, don't do anything. In other words, for 6 months he walked me through a quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
No matter the remarks and no matter how I was being treated, I did not feel worried. But I want you all to know that in the midst of every storm and every battle, God eventually comes back and vindicates us. Because in that walk, in the walk, my manager was so blown away that when I came home after the fifth surgery, she immediately rushed to my apartment to see me at home because she really didn't believe that I had breast cancer. She said if it was not for the losing of your hair, I didn't believe it. And
how did that make you feel?
She said, because there was a glory about you, and what I did, I stayed in the presence of God at all times. When I got home, praise and worship was going. Christian television, I kept the atmosphere conducive for healing.
Yeah.
I didn't surround myself with activity. I didn't surround myself with anyone that if I needed to have a pity party, I would do that with my children. And they would push right back, and we didn't have that often. I had friends that upheld me and encouraged me and prayed with me and prayed for me because it is and it can be an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the grace of God, nobody came to live with me. I mean, my daughters offered to come live with me. And I told him, I said, no, I'll be fine. And, you know, but she's right. You learn about people when you're going through.
Well, very good. I'm glad to know. Did you want to be to yourself, or did you want anybody to know that you were going through this, or only your immediate family and your coworkers and your church people? Was that all that knew? Did you just tell anybody?
Yeah, any and everyone that knew me knew that I was going through breast cancer.
Okay.
Because
and
the worst thing I believe that we can do is keep it hidden, because we don't know where the next connection of the breakthrough is at.
Okay.
And then we don't know where the next set of help is coming from.
Okay.
So what's the old saying? The closed mouth doesn't get fed.
Okay.
So if nobody knows what I'm going through, Minister Lewis, he could touch your heart to do something for me, but you don't know that there's a need, and he can't tell you that there's a need because I'm over here keeping it secretive.
Okay.
And I'm
going to
tell you all something. can I tell you all something to make you laugh? I'll never forget my oldest daughter. I mean, they said you will lose your hair pretty much after the first or second treatment. Well, after my first treatment, the girls came over that Saturday. We was getting ready to go to the mall. Well, the night before, my oldest daughter, Keshava, she said, all right, you get up in the morning looking like Fire Marshal Bill. Anybody have heard of him on TV on Living Color?
Yeah, Living Color.
Well, sure enough, when they came over the Saturday morning to pick me up to go to the mall, I went in the bathroom to brush my hair and pull it back in a ponytail. And the whole center part of my hair came out all the way down to the scalp.
Oh, my.
And I let out a scream that you can hear me to the parking lot. Because remember when she said I was going to lose my hair, I took out running, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the girls knew what had happened. And it took me a minute to get myself together. They had to really work with me. And I said, you can't see. She was just praying, my baby just did. And I said, when I got myself together, we sat there and went ahead and brushed the rest of it out and went on to wash my head and all the down, and we went on to the mall. Well, the next week, they took me to look for a couple of wigs. Well, I wore one that next day to church, and after shouting and getting up off the floor, the wig was twisted on my head. So when I sat down, my middle daughter, Portia, she ran her hand up behind my back to straighten up the wig. And I just jerked it off. I said, you know what? It is what it is. And I jerked the wig off. And I never did do a wig or a scarf or anything ever again. Because I just felt like this. I said, this is a temporary situation.
Yes, yes. Well, we thank you so much for sharing that.
Wait a minute. You know what I found out?
What?
That my head is even. No dip, no bumps of an even that did. So that bob was beautiful.
Okay. It was pretty anyway, huh? Well, praise God. All right. But well,
before Minister Henderson leaves, I want to ask a question. I want to know, was there a history of breast cancer in your family?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Mother McCray.
Hey, Mother McCray. Yes, ma'am. One of his sisters and her oldest daughter both passed away from breast cancer. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I think that's an important fact that we need to stress to women. If there is a history of breast cancer in your family, then that you really should do your breast self-exams. You should have your mammograms done every year. The preventative care is very important when you have that history of breast cancer.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, Minister Henderson, how long have, tell us about your survivor years. How long has it been?
5 years.
5 years.
Yes, ma'am.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, he is. Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. Do you ever do any type of public speaking or in regards to breast cancer and your journey through this process of recovery?
Yes, ma'am, I do, and I have. That's part of the ministry that God gave me, Ashes to Beauty.
Okay.
And what we do fundraisers for supportive services so that we can help assist breast cancer patients and survivors up to 3 years. And the reason being, because I found out when I found myself in lack, there was nothing out there to assist me.
Mm-hmm.
If your income is over this level, there was no assistance. And, you know, so You know, I couldn't get help with rent. I couldn't get help with utilities, none of those things, because it's very expensive. You know, you have a copay for every doctor you go to and a copay for every day you went to radiology. So it got beyond my short-term disability check. So
yeah.
I found myself no longer, you know, unable to pay my rent, my car note, and things of this nature. So as I forestated, I lost some things along the way. And in doing so, you know, this is what God birthed. When he first gave me Ashes of Beauty, I thought the way he gave it to me was to walk with single-parent women. So he kept holding up when I would go forth for the 501c3, and then he gave me an epitome last year to revamp it to include who you are, and that's Ashes of Beauty with breast cancer. So I thank God. So yes, ma'am, Mother LaPrey, I do have an opportunity to speak. I do Ashes of Beauty. My team and I, we do put on functions, fundraisers to help raise funds, as I forestate, to help support patients. Because as I told people, I have nothing against Susan G. Komen, because we'll be looking for a cure till Jesus come. And we all know that he's the ultimate physician. But even I couldn't get a wig from Susan G. Komen, because all their money goes to research and to help women of low income that's not able to afford a mammogram obtain a mammogram. But they have no services to help you when you're going through, and that's where we come in at.
Okay, that's great.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Great. Do you have any, do you have like a supportive group where women that have gone through this, breast cancer, meet together and kind of support and listen and encourage women that are actually going through that same process of you know, chemo and
yes, ma'am.
All the changes that come along with life.
Right.
With that.
Well, actually, I'm preparing actually to launch that on next month. What I try to do, Mother McCrary, a lot of people shy away or won't come out, but that is part of Ashes of Beauty, faith-based support groups. That is part of the makeup of the ministry. And that's actually going to be launched next month. And
oh, wow.
That email was going out on the 1st. And for anyone that's interested, you can go to our website, which is www.A2B4BeautyMinistries.org. So
okay.
The website is in the process of being built. You can go out there. All the drop-down tabs are not working just yet, but the home, the vision, the supportive services, and happenings, all of those tabs are working. And the donate button, of course. And then the last four tabs, we're in the process of loading those down actually as we speak. Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful.
And if anyone would like for me to email a brochure, my number is 214-533-1534. Feel free to text or give me a call and give me your email address, and I'll be more than happy to forward a brochure to you as well.
Okay. Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm back. Something had happened. Ken, thank you for continuing the show for me. Mother McCrae, are you still with us?
Yes, yes.
Okay, would you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little about what you do?
Okay. Well, my name is Mary McCrae, and I am a registered nurse. I've been practicing now for 39 years, and my background has been in med-surg. I'm now practicing in outpatient services, and during the outpatient services, I've helped with patients that have come in for chemo and patients that have had metaports, and so I've had quite a bit of exposure to not only breast cancer, but various types of treatments in cancer.
Yeah.
I think it's very important, and I just commend Minister Henderson. I was listening, and she was giving her testimony, and can see the hand of God in her life and how he has brought her. You know, when we go through different situations, we're supposed to be helpers one to another. And I thought about it as she was speaking when Jesus told Peter, says, he said, Simon Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen your brother.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that's indeed what you've done. And, you know, God is in control, and he gives us strength for the journey.
Yes,
I think it is so important that we educate our women. And Minister Lewis will tell you that in our church, especially in our training ministry, I try to bring up a series called For Your Health, because I believe in preventative care. I believe in health. Our body is the temple wherein the Holy Spirit lives. I believe that we are supposed to keep our body fit. I believe that I know that sickness will come our way. This is just a part of life on this side. But God gives us grace to help. I think it's important for women to know that, you know, breast cancer is very prominent, and especially in the African-American women. I believe the stats are with women in general is 1 out of 8 women will develop breast cancer. So if you have 8 women in a room, then that means that one of those ladies will end up with breast cancer. And I read a lot of information in regards to breast, and there's a lot of debate about hormone therapy and all of that. But what I want to inform everyone is that it's just good to know the signs and symptoms. And I think Minister Henderson told us that she found her lump. And so it's just really good to do breast self-exam and to know if you're in the high-risk group. And that's why I asked her if there was anyone in her family that had breast cancer, because usually that gene has a pattern. You can see it in families. And there are tests out there that you can have. If breast cancer is in your family, there are tests that can be taken to see your risk. And so I believe it's that BRCA1 and BRCA2, and it lets you know your risk. And so we look at things also as you get older, as you age, your risk for breast cancer increases. And as we said earlier, there's some concern about the estrogen hormone therapy that will increase your risk. There's also studies that show that alcoholism will increase the risk of breast cancer. Being overweight increases your risk. Also, radiation exposure increases your risk. And believe it or not, some studies have said that even people, women of tall height, have breast cancer. And, of course, we know that not only women can have breast cancer, but men can have breast cancer as well. And so it's just good to know the risk. And if you're in that risk group, then surely do your preventative care. Some of the signs that you could look for is when you look in the mirror, look at your breast to see if one maybe looks a little larger, a little different than the other. Any type of dimpling in the breast or change in the breast color. An inverted nipple means that the nipple is going inward. If that nipple looks to be inverted or if you have drainage, all of this needs to be reported right away. The sooner that the cancer is found, the better the outcome. And so I believe in preventative care, and I believe in having your annual physicals. It's just important to do that. And, Saints, I want you to know that it is important the way we eat and the way we live. Sometimes we can eat ourselves sick. Sometimes we can, the way we live will cause us to be ill. Now, I'm not saying that the way you eat will cause you to to have breast cancer. I'm saying just your general health altogether, the way we eat and the way we take care of ourselves. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we want to, you know, we want to be aware of what to look for and how to take care of ourselves and really to do our preventative care.
Yes. Yes.
It is so important.
Yes. And Minister Henderson, I just really commend you because you've gone through a lot and you can be a blessing to many women. And you have a lot to share, a lot to give. And I just encourage you to continue as you are and keep being a blessing. I was just listening to your testimony, and one thing that caught my eye, and I'll have to say this because I want you to hear it, when you talked about it, I was listening to you. It wasn't in a downbeat, but it was in an upbeat in that you look back on it and you say, well, that's where I was, but look where God has brought me right now.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So when you can definitely be a blessing to others.
Mother McCurry, I also like to piggyback on you. As I first stated when I founded, I was asleep. You know how you just sort of, your hands just sort of grace your breast when you roll it over? Well, I found the hump. And when they measured it, it was the size of a double large egg, which meant it had been growing inside of me for 8 years.
Wow.
And I, yes, ma'am. And I had been promoted. That was during the time when Katrina hit in 05. And when they started doing the breakdown, they put me over the disaster housing assistance program because I was a lead case manager at Garland Housing here for the city of Garland. And it was such a stressful position because you had to build the program from the bottom up. So I worked 7 days, 12 or more hours every day getting this program up off the ground because that's how many families have been placed here in Garland. So stress pushed it to the forefront. So I would tell Garland Housing all the time, thank you so much for saving my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I viewed it this way. Had I not been put under the stress, it never would have pressed it out because I had been getting a mammogram every year. But it was hidden behind my breastplate.
Yeah.
And the stress pressed forward, but it had been going for 8 years.
Wow.
Thank God.
Wow.
Thank God.
Them I'm going to get this growing. Ma'am?
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that stress.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And that's what I say all the time. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
So, yes.
Well, do we have any other callers on the line that would like to address Mother McCray or they would like to address Minister Henderson with any questions or comments? If so, you are free to do so at this time. We appreciate your call, your listening in tonight, and we just thank Mother McCray and Minister Henderson for their comments and for being with us tonight. We have a few more minutes that we can take calls. If you like, you can call us at 310-982-4126, 310-982-4. Go ahead.
It's Beverly.
Hey, Beverly.
How you guys doing? It's good to hear everybody this evening. It was a delight to hear Mother McCray on the line.
Thank you.
I'm seeing her. I'm going through this breast cancer right now, and it's good to hear what Minister Henderson was saying, and I agree with her. I'm just had my second chemo treatment. It is a process, definitely that. But the one thing that I found since finding it out and going through it is I found so many wonderful people. I walked into the chemo place day there on Friday, and this woman's husband, or I don't know, was a relative with her, and she came over to me and told me she was praying for me and asked for me to pray for them. And I had that much through the whole time that I've had so many people just walk up to me and tell me they're praying for me. I've had people, and my church has been outstanding. I just couldn't. My coworkers have been wonderful. So it is a process. It is an experience. But for me, at this time, it's been a loving experience. I've had so many people that I know and that I don't know call me and send cards and say prayers. And so it's been an uplifting experience. I agree with Minister Henderson. When I got my diagnosis, the Lord did give me an inner peace. So I haven't been worried about it or scared about it. I got a little bit, I think, the first week or so when the doctor first told me. But after that, the Lord gave me an inner peace, so I haven't really been really upset about it or anything. But I just want to tell people, like, it is best to go and get the test done, the mammograms done, and go through the process. But always seek the peace of God in your life, because when the God puts that peace in there, everything that you go through is just a process. You don't really feel so alone. You don't feel so bad going through it. Peace is healthy. It's awesome. I can't explain it to you. I can't tell you how it makes me feel, but I'm not worried or concerned about anything that they say. I just do what they tell me to do the best that I can. But I'm not concerned about anything that they're saying. Just keep seeking the face of God, and He'll take care of everything.
Amen. Praise God. I have a question, one question, and then I want to make an announcement about next week's show. But my question is, during your nutrition, what is there special foods that you have to eat? Are there do you take vitamins? How do you keep the rest of your body in shape to withstand the stress that it's going through the radiation and a chemo or whatever that you have to take? Or is there certain foods that you can and cannot eat?
They tell you to eat as healthy foods as possible. They take regular blood tests almost every week or every 2 weeks, and they tell you what's up and what's down. They encourage you to take vitamins. Like, they told me my red blood count was low, so they encouraged me to take a lot of vitamins to uplift them. But they just ask that you try not to lose any excess weight, and they ask you to try and eat, even if it's three small meals a day, to eat those three small meals, but they encourage you to try and eat as much healthy foods as possible, not getting into too much sugar, too much fatty foods, fried foods, and stuff like that. It's really just trying to encourage you to eat as healthy a diet as you possibly can and to exercise as much as you possibly can. Try and keep your life as simple as possible can so that you don't have any additional problems.
Are they really concerned about the stress levels that you go through? Do they ask you not to be stressed or try to keep you from stressing about anything or anything like that?
They talk to you over at Baylor. They talk to you about every aspect of your life. They have a therapist that I go to because of the swelling. And at that therapist, you can talk about anything that you want to talk about. And so they try and tell you, keep you to not be stressed out because of it will affect other parts of your body. So, and I like that they have therapists for you to go to if you need to go to, or they have financial counselors that you can go to if you need help with your finances. And so they try and help you in every area that they possibly can over there. So I'm very grateful for them for what they try and do.
Very good. Well, I'm certainly happy that you have shared with us tonight about what you're going through. Everybody, I want you to know this is our sponsor, our president of Granny's Place, and our sponsor for My Sister, My Friend. She has been very instrumental in keeping us up and going, and we thank God for her. And we want you all to continue to pray for her and for Minister Henderson and Mother McCray and all those that are listening. We just thank God for you tonight. We appreciate you being on the line with us. And we have a few more minutes that we can chat, and I would like to talk about our upcoming guest. We have Sister Patrice Tatum, who will be our guest on next week. She's going to come on and tell us about her ministry. And also Minister McKinney will be with her, telling about their ministries. And we have a great show lined up next week for them. So I would appreciate if everybody called in and listened in with us. And if anybody else has any questions or comments tonight, they can still dial 310-982-4126. Minister Henderson, did you get a chance while I was disconnected to tell about the new U Resource Center?
No, ma'am, I didn't. What Minister Luden is referring to is what Ashley Community is also in the process of opening, the new U Resource Center. And what the center will consist of is the faith-based support group, which is hopefully going to launch next month. And then there will be case managers, mentors, workplace reentry is where the patient and survivor can come in and brush up on their skills, whether it be computer. We have money management skills, because money does matter, interviewing skills, look and be the part, things of this nature, because a lot of times the sickness can go beyond your 6 months of your short-term disability, and sometimes you're not able to return. And while you're out recuperating, you can get a chance to come in and keep your skills sharpened up and brushed, you know, brushed up. We also help with rental assistance, mortgage, utilities, co-pays, prescriptions. Don't bombard us all at once, because we're waiting for our 501c3 to come back in the mail so that we may obtain grants. But we do fundraisers to help where we can help. But these are some of the major things that the new U Resource Center will be offering.
Okay, thank you. Mother McCray, I understand that you are in, you're working with a Ministry of Health, Ambulatory Health. Would you like to tell us about yours, your ministry?
Well, I was thinking as Minister Henderson was talking, I was thinking what a wonderful job she's doing. And I want to tell you, Minister, if you need me to help you or volunteer my services, I'll be happy to do that. Because
you'll start us off next month, Lord will, if you will.
Okay. Well, we can do that. We can help.
It doesn't take long for a God connection.
Okay. All right. But I enjoy helping. I just believe in health and education. Like I said, I've been a nurse now for 39 years.
Oh.
So I've been a nurse for a while, yes. And I do volunteer services. I volunteer for one of the free clinics here in the Dallas area. It's a clinic that focuses on indigent care, and the care there is free. And so I volunteer one Saturday a month.
Wonderful.
I just, you know, I want to be a blessing and help where I can. So I just enjoy helping and working with people. I have a heart for people.
Amen.
I'm just thanking God to be able to listen to the various testimonies tonight. And to Sister Beverly, we're going to be praying for her. And you know,
yes.
God will hold her up. And I hear about all the wonderful things that she does. So it's just good to be among women that have a mind to serve.
Yes.
Amen.
Is there anyone else?
Yes, you may.
Okay. I also want to say Ashes of Beauty in the New You Resource Center, we don't just cater to women. It's also for both men and women alike. And if you all know of any men that are breast cancer patients or a survivor, please let me know. Give them my number or see if it's okay that I can contact them, because we're having the Pink Tile Fair in April, and it's going to be honoring the men.
Oh,
and we want to, I would like to build a rapport between now and that time. You know, whether the Lord bless us with any and all, I believe that he will, because he had me to open it for both men and women, because it does affect men as well. And so if you all know of any men, any at all, that's going through breast cancer or have survived it, I would love to meet them, because I would love for them to be honored at the Black Tile Fair. This past April, we had the Bostonista brunch, where we had a patient and a survivor to speak. So next year, we'd like to have a male patient and a male survivor to be, I guess, speakers. So if you all can help me in that capacity, it would be most appreciated.
Amen. We'll get the word out. Thank you for giving us that information. If it's for our men also, men, those that are, LaShawn, if your father, dad is listening, Pat, tell him to pass the word on.
Yes.
And we thank you tonight for listening to us. We have about 8 minutes to go. So if there are there any announcements, any questions, any concerns, statements that any of you ladies would like to make before we close in prayer, I would certainly honor it at this time. Are
Hello?
There any comments? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Catrice.
Hi, Catrice. How are you?
I am good. How are you doing? I've been trying to press one to talk and saying stuff, and nothing has happened. But I had a question for Lady Henderson.
Well, go right ahead. Go ahead.
My question is, when you started off, you said that you were trying to do Ashes to Beauty for single mothers. Are you still in that, or are you just totally focusing on breast cancer?
Well, breast cancer is a part of what Ashes Beauty is made of, but when we meet, we target all women.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That was my question.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you, Sister Catrice, for joining us tonight. I did mention that you will be on our show on next Monday night telling us about your ministry. And would you give us the name tonight again and tell us a little bit about it, and we'll go in depth next week?
Okay. My ministry that I manage is OG Ministries. They are gospel rap artists, and I promise you I hated rap with all my fiber of every being that I have, but they rap the Bible, and it's an old school, it's a new school song with an old school flavor, and I honor God for blessing me with those gentlemen. And I also work with Ladies on Fire for Christ Ministries, Minister Jerita McKinney. She is the founder of that ministry, and I can't say that that ministry saved my life. So we'll get into a little bit more of that on next week. And Minister McKinney is on the line somewhere. I know she's listening, but I just wanted to say that on Ladies on Fire for Christ behalf.
Okay. Well, I had some technical difficulties going on here, so I don't know if she can still hear me or if she's still on the line, because I have a few that have dropped. So, Minister McKinney, if you can hear me, just give us a shout-out. Okay, maybe she has dropped. What is the last 4 digits of her phone number?
And I can feel you. 4780.
4780. Yeah, she has dropped out. So I'm so sorry that we couldn't get her on tonight to say hello to us. But thank you so much, Catrice, for calling us back, because you did drop one yourself one time. So I can see that. But thank God for all of you ladies on the line tonight. Mother McCray, If it will not be an imposition, would you please pray us out? We have four minutes to go. So if you'll go ahead and give us a closing prayer, if there are no more questions or comments tonight, we are going to ask Mother McCray to pray us out.
Okay. You know, I believe in the power of prayer.
Yes.
And I believe this. I believe it. I believe it. And I believe that it's according to our faith. And so we're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray to the Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And I believe that when we pray in the will of God, then God will hear us and answer us. And so we're going to pray tonight. Father God, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, we just thank you for all your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, God. Mercy woke us up this morning. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for this day, a day that has never been and that will never be, but you allowed us to see this day. And so, Father, we thank you. We just thank you, God. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your son, Jesus. And God, we thank you because we know without the shedding of the blood, there was no remission for sin. So, God, we thank you for Jesus today. And we thank you, God, that you keep us day by day. Now, Father, as we pray today, we pray for men and women everywhere. There are so many that are going through tonight. Some may have a hung down head. Some that may feel that there is no hope. But Father, we know that you are the lifter. And so God, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you would touch that sister wherever she may be, that you would touch that brother wherever he may be. And God, we ask that you would give the strength to look up and not to look down. And Father God, to trust you in all things. And now, Father, we just thank you for this ministry today. We thank you for Minister Lewis and all that she does, God. And we thank you for her faithfulness, God. Father, we thank you for Minister Henderson, God. We thank you for all that she does. And we thank you for her faithfulness, God. And God, we ask that you would breathe on these ministries, God. Father, we ask that it would call for increase in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for the kingdom tonight, God. We pray that our kingdom come and your will be done, God. And so, Father, we ask that you give strength for those that go out to God to carry out the good news, to let a dying world know that Jesus saves, God. And Father, we just thank you for your healing power.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your delivering power.
Yes.
Thank you for the strength, God.
Thank you.
For your word tells us that you give strength to those that have no might. And so we just thank you for strength, God, in weary times, God. And we just praise you and we glorify your name, God. There's nobody like you, God. Who is like the Lord? Nobody. Nobody is like our God. Oh, God, we just praise you, God. All your goodness and your mercy. David said, thy mercy endureth forever. And so thank you for mercy. Thank you for saving us, God. One day we were lost in our sins. But you saved us, God. You kept us. And we thank you, Father. Now breathe upon the women of God. Breathe upon the women of God. Breathe upon the women of God. Remember Sister Beverly, God. Remember Sister Beverly, God. Remember, you see her right now, God. You see her right now, God. You see her right now, God. And we ask that you would meet every need, God. Every need, God. You have a healing hand, God. You have a healing hand, God. Father, we pray for healing right now, God.
Right now,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, ladies, it has been wonderful. Praise God for you tonight. Thank you. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, because you're such an awesome God. Thank you. Thank you for bringing the ladies together tonight, God. Thank you. Mother McClay, I thank you for that awesome prayer.
Yes.
I thank you for sharing with us your story tonight, God, to make some other woman strong to be able to walk the way you walked, with your head up, the way that you have encouraged each and every one of us tonight. Thank you very much. Catrice, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to talking and being with you on next Monday night. And we thank God for each of you. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Lord. Oh, y'all going to have to stop me. And I just want to give a praise report to all my sisters and friends that prayed for me. I am totally healed. I had my
praise
God.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God.
God, he's good. Glory to God. If nobody know, I'm going to tell you right now, he's a healer. Hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But thank you so much, ladies. We got to end right now. I love you all. God bless you. Y'all have a marvelous rest of the week. Hallelujah. Good night.
God bless you. God bless all you women of God.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.